I will be the one presenting here if you can close the...
Let's wait for both of us.
Okay, let's wait for all. You will join us in a few minutes. We'll wait for
you.
Thank you very much. And I remember when I went to my first presentation. When I started work at the university, I needed to present papers in conferences. And I remember going to my first presentation, academic presentation. And on the flight, I remember there were instructions for good presentations. And number one was try to avoid the slot after lunch. Because regarding of gender, age, people tend to get tired and snooze. Needless to say, when I arrived to the conference, I was at 2 o'clock right after lunch. So I learned some lessons. So anyway, I'm here presenting. We will wait and see if he will be joining us. And what I will do, I will present on the work. I will speak on affordable housing, and then we will see work by Tian Roth, who will present there, and we will have discussion.
Originally,
we thought that this presentation was some reason was for about 40 minutes. So we've got about 18 slides, which we've kind of cut down to work in 10 minutes. So he was going to lead on this presentation. The next presentation, I was going to lead on.
The one
next,
exactly.
This is a wonderful PowerShell. So we'll see if he arrives and if he's time. Okay, sorry. What I would like to do is share with you my work on affordable housing. And if I go over time, I will remember to wave my name, to wave to myself this. So I will try to keep it on time. And what I would like to do is share with you my work in affordable housing in Canada, which may offer lesson in other places as well. Our work really began in Montreal in 1990. It was the time where we founded in the university a new program called the Affordable Homes Program. I worked with my colleague Vito Drabczynski in establishing that program, and we began by understanding or looking at basic issues that affect affordable housing. One of the elements that we looked at was the notion of the idea that young people at the time, and this was new phenomena in Canada, could not afford to buy a home. So it was a new phenomena in Canada. And we say, how did we get there? So it was gave us an opportunity to go back and reflect and look at different things that affect production of affordable housing. What we recognize that the market situation in Canada changed completely. And we have now a new reality where labor-intensive jobs move to other markets and we no longer have job security in Canada. The other issue has to do with demographic transformation. This family can be found in Jurassic Park. And this is what we have today. We have a variety of families. We don't have a dominant family anymore. And we need to provide housing to range of households that may include single people and single-parent families. Another element that we recognized changed was lifestyle. People are doing and living their life in homes in ways that are different than other people, than other generations. And we need to make the home accommodate new lifestyle changes as we see them emerge. Another question that we ask ourselves is why the home building industry in North America stuck in archaic time? Why we are still sending 2x4 to a muddy construction site when other industries are moving very, very quickly forward? We then recognize that we are living in an era, in a time where there is depleting natural resources. And what we need to do is to begin to think in alternative materials that need to take place that are available today and can save us valuable natural resources. Another element that influenced us was the fact that we rely too much on traditional trades or trades people not recognizing that there is a new force in the market called the Home Depot or the renovation store that enable people to go and buy things and install and do them by themselves. We also recognize that we are living in a time of rampant sprawl, and future housing can no longer be designed like this because this is a very costly infrastructure, and we need to think about alternative way of building communities at the same time. So we ask ourselves, how should we build homes in the 21st century? If we were given an opportunity to do something completely different. So here we are given a carte blanche, let's start to do something different, and we started to think about building affordable homes. What we have done is not by looking to the far, to the future, but we say, let's try to investigate the history. And we came back with amazing ideas of housing types, housing strategies that have been introduced in the post-World War era. And they were amazing. How come we were able to house so many people so quickly then, and we cannot do it today? The other issue that we cope with was recognized that this is social housing. This is usually the layer that in Canada is supported by the government. What we want to do is to tackle this layer, the entry-level first-time homebuyers, and not to attempt to touch here. We recognize government, we can target this one, those who can afford homes but do not have as much money. So we started to deal with the mechanics of home design. We say, let's go back and put the dwelling under the microscope. We recognize that we need to select shapes. This is what we do today, and this is very costly. What we recognize that what we need to find out is a house that has an excellent ratio between envelope and space and does not, once again, will not consume infrastructure that led us to this. And these are energy calculations that we made. We also recognize that rather than building wide, we need to build high and low and tall because there is, again, saving of energy. And also, we can no longer spread ourselves wide, and what we need to do is to join units together. Another issue was the recognition that what we did in the past few years was waste of material because we have built in a way that make us cut lumbers and cut wood and so on, and we recognize that there is a possibility to arrive to a modular design that will lead to zero waste, really, in design. So in 1990, we built this model on the campus of McGill University. Liz mentioned it before. This was the go-home that I did with Vito Gripczynski, and it was really something very rudimentary, something that we built with the change in our pocket. And what we attempted to do is to do something which will be very efficient. We suggested that in the future, people will be able to go to store and buy these components and install them themselves. We suggested that we don't need to have hallways in which the entire families can square dance or place or six bathrooms all connected to the internet. We say that really the world went insane when we talk about housing. We also suggested that homes can be built with a loft, with unpartitioned second floor, and in the future you will be able to build another two rooms, and hopefully by yourself, and also another bathroom. And this can be done in a self-help fashion. I have to tell you, it is wonderful to wake up one morning and find your name on the front page of the New York Times, Los Angeles Times, Philadelphia Inquirer, and to be on Good Morning America all in the same day. This is wonderful. This was really wonderful, and this is really what happened to us when we did that. And Vito and I standing here on the balcony. And this was something that sensitized us to the fact that there is need to what we do. Nothing happened. People say, if your ideas are so good, why nobody interested in them? I was scared because I did not have tenure at the time. So we say, I ask myself, why people are not interested in these kind of ideas? And what I did was to start to study innovation. How you change people's mind, how you convert people's ideas. And what I recognize is that only 2.5% innovators around. In any groups or society, there are only 2.5% of the people who will wake up in the morning and do something completely different. What we needed to do is to find that innovator. We also recognize that what architects are commonly doing, they are stuck to their ideas. They don't want to change. They don't want to amend and change them. And what we did was, we suggested that if you are moving from research to development, you need to compromise a little bit if you want to have success. In February of 1990, this gentleman walked into my office. His name, there was a huge recession in Montreal, and he walked into our office at McGill, and he says, I heard about your go home. And he told me, look, my situation is very bad. I bought tons of land, and I'm not in good financial situation. I looked at this home, and the first thing that I told him, change the name of the house. This is what he built. Begonia, good for a Martha Stewart show. Go for something else. And then I looked at the design, and I say, 28 by 34. I say, this gives me an idea. And I try to put my marketing hat on my head. I say, if you take your home and you split it into 3-4 quarters, and you put 3 of them on top of each other, you will get my house. He say, wait a second. Who in the right mind will buy a 14-foot home in Montreal? Besides, it's not legal. I say, Mr. Lacotte, whose name? You have nothing to lose. You are inch from bankruptcy anyway. So I say, Abby, you have a point. You have a point. Now, what he had done, he called a newspaper or a journalist, and there was nothing to write about, and he wrote about the 75.9 that the home will cost, and this is what the cost of a regular home in Montreal. Ladies and gentlemen, this guy did not have a good weekend. Did not have a good weekend. 24 units were sold that weekend. The entire development of 87 units were sold in 2 weeks. 1,000 units were sold in the first deal, and we stopped counting in 1995 in 10,000 units. In other words, what we have done is invented a prototype. What we recognize that in a university, what we have done did not build a project. What we recognize in the university that we have done, we built a huge laboratory. And when you have a bunch of students want to do research, here is an opportunity. And we found out that most of the builders were small builders. We found out that most of the buyers were renters before they purchased the home. We found out, as you can see here, that new groups of people who did not consider by builder came to the market. And this is single-parent family, 10%, and also one person who did not purchase a home before. They all came into the market. We also recognized that people were willing to take upon themselves complex tasks in order to complete the home, building a living room, laundry room, and storage spaces all by themselves, and we recorded all that stuff. And also, we found that they were willing to do plumbing, walls, floors, electricity, although I don't know if this is legal. But they did it anyway, electricity in the house. So, all of a sudden, I recognized that something is happening. And I used to go in the first year and visit many model homes in all the neighborhoods that have been built. And then, as I was going one day, I saw a mother with a child coming to a place. And she said, I'm making $35,000, and the sales representative did some calculation and said, I'm sorry, you cannot buy this house. You don't have enough money. And then I say, she had a secure job, $40,000. I say, there needs to be another paradigm. Tell me how much money you make. I will design you a home for that gave rise to a completely new thinking about homes that eventually where we try to change the genetic of home design. What we have done, we suggested that buyers can choose the amount of space that they need and can afford. We suggested that similar to the car industry, you should be able to buy either the kitchen or the bathrooms or the wall according to your means and possibilities. We suggested that once you buy them, you should be able to locate the component in whichever place you want. Also, we said it is archaic the way we build wall now, whereby as you can see, in office building, you can clip on in 2 hours. Why are we still doing it? And we suggest all kind of technical means to help. We say that there is no reason to build electricity the way we do, whereby you can run around the perimeter, you can run a molding and fish your wire very easily. We also suggested that what happened today in the car industry can happen in housing. 70% of all car components are not touched upon by a person. Why are we still doing building in an archaic fashion? So we went on to invent 7 interior partitions and 6 exterior partitions that enable us to build homes. We also suggested that what we can do is have people select the components that they want and they like in order to personalize their homes. And in 12 days, we collected money, we went and we found money, and in 12 days, we built the next home on the campus of McGill University. And if this is the home, this is how the home was looked, these are the images, and if you are aware to walk to this home, you will see we hire three actors, we hire actors to play the roles, a person who lived here and had a home office, and this is a kitchen that was designed for a person with reduced mobility, living room. There is a young couple, she's a part-time employee, he's a contact employee, and they have a kitchen and a living room and a living room divided by a wall, and you have also a single mother living above. And you can tell from this image that IKEA sponsored this house. Now, what happened is that once again, thousands of units have been built in Montreal. We built it all over the place, and we are now exporting them. And then somebody called me, a developer called me, who made tons of money building Go Home and say, can I work with you? And in 1997, we started a factory called Technology Building System in Saint-Julie, Quebec, that is fully automated, cut the panel, ship them, and send them to other construction sites. And this is a project that was built in Bradford, UK, in Bradford. And we built many projects that have been built. Apparently, it was very successful as student housing. And they are being built now in six campuses in the UK, all these projects that have been built. After working on this project, I arrived to my sabbatical, and I said, what shall I do with my sabbatical? I said, shall I write a book? Shall I this and that? Somebody offered me a trip to Guadalajara, Mexico. And I went to Guadalajara, Mexico, and I, once again, was appalled by the condition. I was extremely appalled by the condition. Looking at this, really, I say, how people can live in such condition? What will happen there? And I went to the place, and I started to talk with people. And I talked to this girl who was not in school because she needed to help her family. And she wanted to go to school to be a doctor, she told me, in our conversation. And I recognized that if they are to create for themselves home, it will take them many years. It takes 30 months to build one of these shacks in Mexico. And what we recognize that we need to do is to organize, if we can, components a la carte, home where Mexicans will be able to select the elements that they need and can afford. We will create for them a system whereby they will be able to build in stages. You start like this, and you go to this, and you go to there. We study the entire layout of the community, all the arrangement, all the neighborhoods, how neighborhoods will be designed, and we develop a typical model for that development. We build it in plant, we prefabricated it in plant, and we shipped it in a container to Guadalajara, and we did for the government, local government, the demonstration unit, in 3 days. We built it in 3 days in Guadalajara, and this is the interior of the design that was constructed there, all very quickly, to demonstrate that you can reduce cost of housing and make them affordable, even in poor area, and make them cost $18,000 Canadian. And many of them, this development started in the Puerto Vallarta area, where it was built to people who work in the tourism industry in that place. But I recognize that building homes is not enough. If you are to go to the larger scale and work on communities, you can do even something nicer. And I recognize that what we need to do is understand how sustainable system work and consider all the main applications. We also recognize that when you build, you need to understand the principle of sustainability, that what you build need to be self-sustaining. You need to understand the relationship between various components, no negative impact, and if possible, you have to consider the life cycle of your work. We also recognize that what we call the multiplier effect. You may save money on one unit, but if you multiply by 1,000 the amount of money that you save to a community can be tremendous, not to speak about resources like energy and lumber. So we went on to develop pattern language. We went on to develop systems that enable us to build sustainable communities in a variety of ways. And all these principles we integrated in the design of several communities. And I would like very briefly, in the remaining time, to show you a touches of some. This is a town in Alberta where we designed the entire the entire master plan of this development, and we attempted to move from sprawl, from the patches that you see here, to an organic growth system, where things happen around the center. And in that place, we developed a pattern using the Grow Home and the Next Home, whereby they're all designed, most of them, with southwest, with east-west exposure for maximum solar gain in these places. In Cité Jardin in Montreal, we designed, this is a community that was designed by Cardinal and Hardy, and once again, the basic idea was to share open spaces, to introduce urban agriculture, to introduce private roads, and to park your car right under, and these were very successful places. In Taupo, Cornwall, now we are working across Canada, and we are building many communities. I'm showing you a few of them. But the basic idea was to change people's mind. The idea is that if you want to make things happen, you have to go, and you have to hold public official in the jacket, and you say, make it happen. Make it happen and change. In Cornwall, Ontario, this entire neighborhood fell down. And we suggested that what we need to do is to insert housing right here. And as the neighborhood started to deteriorate and some of the homes had to be demolished, they could not be salvaged, we introduced infill housing using metal form designs into the, with them into the community on land that was owned by the city. And this is one of the blocks that we have designed. And we invited the good souls and the good people of Habitat for Humanity who over time in the past few years went to many of these communities to build homes for people who did not have places. I was very fortunate in the past 2 years to work in one of the most challenging and fascinating places in the world, called Iqaluit in Nunavut. I was invited by the mayor that could not be here with us. And in that place, you need to consider whether this place is undergoing not only cultural changes, but also weather changes. The temperature is rising, homes are sinking, so this was a fantastic challenge. And we were given the opportunity to design an entire sustainable community right here in that place for the people. And of course, we consider winds and consider sun in the work, and we design pattern whereby tall building will will help block the winds for other ones. And once again, we went on to develop many patterns that look into designing, inventing homes that make more sense in northern climate, and this is the homes that have been constructed there. What is the next move for all this? I truly believe that we are living now in an amazing time, I truly believe, as I mentioned this morning, that so many things are changing in front of our eyes, and we need to take advantage, and we need to consider them. And when I try to reflect on companies and organizations who did not pay attention, it led me to the car industry. When in the mid-70s, Toyota introduced this car, it was not a car, it was a philosophy. They say that we can build a car that will be fuel-efficient, small engine, it will be highly dependable, you will not have to sleep in your mechanic's garage, and you will have, it will cost $1,800. $1,800. This was the American response. Could they have seen the writing on the wall? Could they have known that we will run out of energy? Could they know that economics will shift? Life and success is about playing chess and understanding what is around the corner and what is happening. We need to recognize that this is the time. This decade, we set the tone for the rest of the century. This decade is setting the tone. And there will be cities who will fall behind, and cities who will climb up. Those who will be able to master the skills to move forward will succeed. This is what happened to the big trees. You have seen, like me on television, the big three presidents leaning on their knee and asking and begging for money while Toyota became so powerful and the biggest car maker in the world. And this, here I have to say, ta-da! They started to work on this 30 years ago. Sustainability is not about today. We are the carpets on which other generation will walk toward that place. And if we don't understand that we need to work and prepare the things for the future, we have no future to go to. And I truly believe that we all need to wake up very, very quickly and move forward with a new mindset. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I made it between the 20 minutes.